Would you open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, please? As throughout the years we have explored some of the greatest chapters in the Bible, some chapters that are super power-packed that deserve our lingering with them for a number of weeks so that we are able to pull from them the full measure of what they have to offer to us. Romans chapter 12 is one of those. Are you all there? What page is it, by the way? 789? Yes? 790? Somewhere around there. Let's start at verse 1 and refresh our memories. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We saw from our first weeks of looking at these verses that, number one, that change is normal for a Christian. Change is normal. There is a transformation that God is wanting to do in each one of us. If that transformation is not happening, something is wrong. Something is amiss. Something is broken in our relationship with the living God. Because what God wants to do is to transform us. So change is normal. We saw that. Secondly, we saw that have your mind transformed is to think of yourself like God thinks of you. To think of yourself as acceptable, as valuable, as forgivable, and as capable. That's what God wants you to live with each and every day of your life, no matter what you have been told by others in your childhood, told by others even in your adulthood. Those messages that plant themselves deep in our heart, God wants you to see yourself as he sees you. And that is that you are acceptable and you are valuable. So valuable, he paid a great price for you. You are forgivable and you are capable. That's to have your mind transformed and to approve what the will of God is. It's good and perfect will. And then he goes on in verse 3, for by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. In other words, you are not the center of the universe. There is a delicate balance between knowing that you are acceptable, you are valuable, you are forgivable, and you are capable, and not putting yourself in a position of the center of the universe, with pride going unbridled. So now we move into verses 4 through 8. Now he set the stage, because he wants to say this. He wants to say that don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Let me tell you the truth. There are three gifts that you are given when you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know that? There are three gifts that the Bible says that we receive when we open up our hearts and allow the grace of God to flood our souls. When we accept the gift of Jesus dying on a cross for our benefit, there are three gifts that we are given. The first is a gift. He gives us eternal life. That is the truth. When we give our lives to Jesus, when we allow his sacrifice on the cross to be applied to our lives, then instantly I'm given eternal life. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, now what does that mean? That means that if you are a Christian, if you have opened up your life to Christ, then if somebody were to say to you, do you know without a doubt that you're going to heaven? Any stuttering on your part means that you have not appropriated the truth, or you've not received Jesus. One of the two. Because it says when we've received him, then the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, Lord. Got it? The first gift that we receive as Christians is eternal life. The second is his Spirit. We receive his Spirit. The moment I give my life to Jesus, God gives his Spirit to me to live inside of me. The Holy Spirit is God dwelling within me. I have received the Holy Spirit. The Bible says God has given us his Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. The Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit when we come into a relationship with God, which means I don't walk through this life alone. God is with me. God is with you. He lives with you. He walks with you. Yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because there you are with me. He gives you the Holy Spirit, gives you eternal life. Now, maybe most of you knew that. But here's one that you probably didn't know. And that is, the Bible says that not only are we given the eternal life, not only are we given his Spirit, but we are also given special abilities to use for his purpose. Special abilities to use for his purpose. And those special abilities are called spiritual gifts. Romans chapter 12 is going to deal with that in verses 4 through 8. In fact, if you were to look in the Bible at four places, and in fact you might want to jot these down, they're really easy. All you got to remember is two numbers. One is 12, the other is 4. If you remember 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, there is a list of the spiritual gifts that God has given to us. In Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4, there are two more lists of the spiritual gifts that God has given to us. Now, I've listed them here, all of them, for the benefit of you seeing this. But let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 4. For just as, and I want you to understand this as we go. We're going to walk through it slowly. Are you ready? For just as each of us has one body with many members. Do you get the point? If you were, you know, to describe your body, you've got a head, a nose, arms, hands, digits. The hand in which to pull the cell phone out and to turn it off. Every part of your body has a function. Each one of our bodies has different members. You get the analogy that God is lifting up here. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. You know, my arm doesn't have the same function as my leg. My toes don't have the same function as my nose. Each one of them, in a wildly creative and majestic way, each one of the parts of my body functions together so that I can function. Isn't that cool? That's the way God created us. But he goes on to say, so in Christ, verse 5, we... Now he's talking about us, all of us. Look around you. We, look around. We, though many, got it? We, though many, form one body. We, though many, form one body, one collective body. And each member belongs to all the others. If you had your own Bible, I'd have you underline that. We, though many, form one body, and each of us belong to one another. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes. We belong to one another. We are interconnected with one another in a mystical, creative, majestic way. Just as God created these wondrous bodies of ours to have many members that form a whole, God has created his church to have many people that form one body, and we all belong to one another. There's an interconnectedness with us. God says, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts. God has gifted us, and he has given us different gifts according to the grace that was given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, and so you look, prophecy, you'll press the button and prophecy will come up. There you go. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is in serving, that's the gift of helps, then serve. If it is in teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, then do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. In other words, as God has gifted you, use it. Why? For the benefit of building the body. Because we, though many, form an interconnectedness with one another. And we form Christ's body. Christ's body. When you were born physically, you were given some physical gifts by God. You were given the gift of hearing or taste or touch, sight, smell. God gives you physical, you know, abilities when you're physically born. When you're spiritually born, God gives you some spiritual abilities to serve him. And every believer has at least one. Every believer has at least one. They are given to you at the moment of salvation. God gives them sovereignly. In other words, he decides which gifts are given to whom. And so the gift of administration, the gift of evangelism, the gift of shepherding, gift of discernment, the gift of faith, the gift of interpretation, gift of speaking in tongues, all of the gifts are given by God to his people to build the body so that we, who are all many, form one cohesive body of Christ in the world, and we are of benefit to the world around us. Now, what are the importance about spiritual gifts? I love talking about spiritual gifts because it is. Here's why. I'll just tell you why. Okay? Are you ready to hear why? Number one is that my gifts show God's plan for my life. My gifts and identifying those gifts and then using those gifts shows what God desires for my life. Your spiritual gifts determine how God wants you to serve him. And once you understand what your spiritual gift is, then it answers a lot of questions for, you know, like, what's God's will for my life? What does God want me to do now that I'm a Christian? You know, what should be my ministry? What should I be spending my time with? Where should I focus my life? All of those answered when you answer the question, what is my spiritual gift? Every Christian is called to serve Jesus. Every Christian. That's not an option. We are all called to serve Jesus. And we're called to serve him using the gifts that God has given to us. If you're gifted in organizing, then God wants you to be an organizer. If God has gifted you in teaching, then he wants you to teach. If he's gifted you in reaching non-Christians, then you ought to be an evangelist. You ought to do that. Whatever your gift is determines how you're going to be used in this life for God. Here's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 12, one of those other chapters that deals with spiritual gifts. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works in all of them. I want you to notice the word different. We're all different. It says there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, different kinds of service, different kinds of workings. We are different. As a result, we see things differently. We tend to emphasize those things in life that are in accordance with the way that we're wired, with the gifts that God has given to us. Can I give you an example? Something as simple as you're in the kitchen and you're there with your church family and one of the kids has a big bowl of ice cream and moves and the ice cream falls on the floor. Okay? Now, here's what various people in the room, how they would respond depending on their giftedness. For instance, the one who has the gift of mercy. How do you think the person that has the gift of mercy would react to the child that has just put the bowl of ice cream on the floor? Don't feel bad, honey. That could have happened to anybody. The gift of mercy being applied directly. But on the other hand, the person that has a gift of prophecy, you know, that happens when you're not careful. You know, it's calling out the truth. The person that has the gift of helps immediately jumps up and says, "Here, let me help you clean that up." The one who has the gift of teaching says, you know, the reason it fell is because it was too heavy on one side when it got near the edge of the table, honey. The person with the gift of encouragement, how wonderfully you handled that after dropping the dessert, honey. You're amazing. Or the person with the gift of giving, I'll be happy to buy you a new dessert. Or the one with the administration, the gift of administration, immediately jumps up and says, "Jim, would you get the mop? Sue, would you pick it up? And Mary, help me fix another dessert." Organizing the deal. You see, the way that we're wired affects the way that we interact with various situations. We're all different. Have you ever read a Christian biography or heard about, you know, some Christian figure and just feel guilty because you're such a loser? You know, my goodness, they do this and they do that and they go here and they go there. Well, you know, part of the reason that I love spiritual gifts is because I don't have to feel like a loser. Is because that's a unique giftedness that God has given to them that they are living out in the world. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And I just need to make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So, right out of the chute, my gifts really give a huge inkling into what God's plan is for my life, which is kind of essential, kind of important. Secondly, my gifts almost also show my worth. They show my worth. You know, I've already said that you are valuable, you are acceptable. God sees you as valuable and important. And what Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 8 says, there are no little people. We are all different. We all have a gift that is needed by the body. There are no little people. Look at what 1 Corinthians 12 says. All of you form the one body of Christ, and each one is separate and a necessary part of it. Each one of us. It doesn't matter whether you've got one of the flashy gifts or you've got one of the silent gifts. They're all necessary. My goal is to use the power of God in the way that he has blessed me to bless others. That's what God wants each of us to do with the giftedness that he's given to us. God designed us to make a unique contribution. You're not gifted by accident. Without you, the picture isn't complete. That's what we don't get, is that we are necessary. How many of us think, I'm not that necessary. I don't have that much to give. That's what's maddening for a pastor, is because we, though many, form one body, and each of us are needed. My gifts show my worth. I'm worth, the body of Christ needs me. It needs you. That's what Romans chapter 12 says. And then thirdly, my gifts are the source of fulfillment in my life. Romans chapter 12. So in Christ, though many form one body and each member belongs to all the others, we have different gifts according to the grace God given to each of us. He's given us gifts, and guess what? When we employ those gifts, then there is joy that comes from it. You know, each of us have a desire to be valuable. Each of us have a desire to be used in some way to bless others. Each of us have a desire to accomplish something in this world. Each of us have a desire to do something that matters. Each of us. And what God has done is He's given you a spiritual gift so that you can employ that and you can make a difference. You can matter. You can do something that's valuable. And also, in the meantime, find fulfillment. Because that's where fulfillment comes from. Fulfillment doesn't come from making a lot of money. It doesn't come from racking up pleasure. It doesn't come from, you know, amassing things. Real joy comes from knowing that my life is productive, that it counts, that it matters, that I've touched somebody else. Look at what John 15 says. It says, this is how my Father is glorified. This is Jesus talking. In your becoming fruitful. In other words, in your becoming productive and in being my disciples. I've told you this so that you can share my joy and that your joy may be complete. When you are productive, when I am productive, that's when the joy quotient in our lives goes off the scale. When we employ our gifts for the benefit of other people and we're doing something that matters, then that brings us joy. Do you think it's any accident that in the Greek, the Bible is written in the Greek language, that the root word for gift and the root word for joy are the same root word? When we employ our gift, it brings joy to our hearts because we're doing something significant. The thrill of being used by God is the greatest feeling and thrill that you can experience in life. It truly is. So, how do you live it? What does God want us to do with this notion that we have spiritual gifts, that we have eternal life, that we have the Holy Spirit, but we also have special abilities? We have spiritual gifts that have been given to us to employ for the sake of building the body and doing something significant for God. What does God want us to do? Well, here's the first thing. Here's how to live it, and that is, how about first of all, you discover it. If I were to sit you down and say, what is your spiritual gift, would you be able to tell me? It's important that you discover. 1 Corinthians 14 says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 14 also says, I would not have you to be ignorant with regard to spiritual gifts. The first step is that we know what our spiritual gift is. Now, you know, if you're interested in exploring this a little further, I've decided what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a two-week Bible study. It's going to be next Sunday evening from 6 to 8. And then what month comes next? October the 6th. And then we will also do it on October the 20th. And it will be Discover Your Spiritual Gifts. I'm going to teach a little bit more about spiritual gifts that I can't do this morning. But I'm also going to help you discover your gift and give you a test, an assessment that will help you do that. So if you're interested in that, then plan on coming next Sunday evening as well as the 20th to discover your spiritual gift. But here's some pointers that the Bible tells us about how to discover your spiritual gift. It says, first of all, you do it two ways. One is by examining, and the other is by experimenting. You might want to just jot those down. Here's how you find out what your spiritual gift is by examining and by experimenting. By examining my Christian life and by experimenting with different kinds of service. First, I discover my spiritual gift by looking back on my Christian life and saying, in what ways have I served God so far? You see, in too many Christian circles, we don't even think in terms of spiritual gifts. And so maybe this is a new notion for you. I want you to look back on your Christian walk, if it's of any length of time, and say to yourself, where has God used me? And how has he used me in a way that has brought me joy and has brought fruit that God has blessed as I've been able to operate? Where have people been impacted? Where have I seen results? If you've never gotten into any ministry, since you become a Christian, then there's no way that you're going to know what your gift is. If you sat in a pew and that's the full extent of your serving, then guess what? You've got nothing to examine. But if you have been involved in ministry, if you have done, things in the name of Jesus, then is there something that stands out that was of great benefit, that brought you joy and brought fruit? That's examining. But if that doesn't bring it, then you want to experiment. You experiment with different kinds of ministries and service. There are dozens of ways, for you to serve, to dabble in, is this, what God has wired me to do? Is this my spiritual gift? Is this? And for you to experiment. It happens through a walk with Christ. The more you walk with him, the more you see yourself clearly. And you're saying, wow, this is my gift. I have the gift of administration. I've discovered that after 30 years. That I have the gift of administration, which is the divine enablement to understand what makes a church function and a special ability to be able to, help a church function. Help me build a church, help me plant it to churches. But when I started in ministry, what I really wanted was the gift of mercy and counseling. I mean, my minor in seminary as well as in college was in counseling. Coming out of seminary, I was going to just move into, almost full-time counseling. That's what I wanted to do. But I've soon discovered that, mercy wasn't my strongest gift. Why are you laughing? Now I'm wounded. Found that not only did I have a gift of administration, I also have a gift of prophecy. Being in a counseling setting where mercy is required, rather than listen and empathize, I wanted to do emergency surgery, immediately to solve the whole situation quickly. And so, it became obvious that what I needed to do is invest in what God has gifted me to do. That came through experimenting and examining. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to discover what our spiritual gift is. But not only that, he wants us, secondly, to develop it, to develop our gifts. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 14 says, don't neglect the spiritual gift that is in you. Notice it says neglect. A lot of you already know what you're good at. You know how God's gifted you, but you're not using it for God's glory. You're not using it for the Lord. The question is why? I don't know. You could say, well, I'm too busy, or I've got wrong priorities, or maybe I'm just lazy. Maybe it's a fear of failure or embarrassment. But whatever it is, God wants us to develop the spiritual gift that's in us so that we are most effective in the body of Christ, so that we build the body the strongest, but also so other people are blessed. And thirdly, It's interesting, 2 Timothy 1 says, fan the flames of the gift that God gave to you. Thirdly, use it. First Peter 4 says, each one should use whatever spiritual gift he has received to serve others, faithfully managing God's grace in its various forms. That's what God wants us to do. Notice he says the word use. God wants you to use it. And the church is a place to discover and develop and use your gift. He wants you to be of benefit to others. Ephesians 4. Why is it that he gives us special abilities to do certain things best? It's so God's people will be equipped to do better work for him, building up the church, the body of Christ, to a position of strength and maturity. When I look at this, I look at Romans chapter 12, and I think God's plan is brilliant. God's plan is this, is that everyone who receives Jesus will get a spiritual gift so that everybody can contribute, so that everybody's important, so that nobody feels insignificant, so that we all function together like a symphony. God says, I'll give every Christian a spiritual gift so that every person can be a partner with me in the most important work on the planet. That is conveying and applying the grace of God to people's lives. God's plan is that some people would set up, some people would organize, some people would make artistic signs, some people would give melodic brilliance to the body of Christ. Some people would teach, some people would organize, and it would all come together to make for a strong body of Christ. You know, in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus comes to, and we're given a picture of the end times where Jesus calls each of us to be accountable for what we've done with our lives. And one of the questions is going to be, what have you done with the gift that I gave to you? Did you discover it? Did you employ it? Did you use it to build up my body so that it's strong? Did you use your gift to bless other people? What are you going to do with what I gave to you? What did you do? If you're a follower of Christ, are you employing your spiritual gift? And if not, why not? The Bible says now it's required that those who have been given a trust must be proven faithful. God has made an investment in us, and he wants us to be faithful with what he's given to us. And so therefore, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's in teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's in giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, then do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. In other words, if this is your gift, use it. It's a brilliant plan if we don't get in the way of it. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I would pray for your family gathered here in this place this morning. The testimony of your word identifies us clearly that even us, who are many, form one body. And each of us is to employ the gifts that you have given to us for the sake of blessing others, for the sake of fulfilling the purpose that you have for each one of us, and for the sake of building your body into being strong and vibrant and useful. So I pray, Lord, that you would touch each one of us and move us off dead center to to discover our gifts and to use them. Lord, you've given us salvation, and we're so thankful of that. You've given us your Holy Spirit as a means of guiding and sustaining and comforting and nurturing us, and I'm so thankful for that. And I'm also thankful that you've given us special abilities. You've given us spiritual gifts. Now may we use those in the name of Jesus. May our minds be transformed by the renewing of our mind that you have done, so that we become more fully yours. All in the name of Jesus. Amen.